and gardening information the natural way. The Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, is ready to go with the best information and advice on organic gardening and organic living. If you want to avoid the toxic life, jump right in with us. The water's fine. Here's your leader, John Howard, the Dirt Doctor Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with us is 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and Farmer's Market Soap, two products that I highly recommend. You can get information about both of them on our website and all the other supporters of the show there as well. So I hope you check it out at dirtdoctor.com. Somebody called in, wanted to know if we would recommend covering pomegranates for protection in the winter. And no, they're pretty tough in our zone for sure, in zone 8 here. I don't know if they can go to a lot colder climates without having some protection. But I think the worst thing that would happen is you'd get a little freeze of some of the canes. They're usually bushy and have more than one stem. Not always, but usually. You might lose a little bit to really dramatic freezes that happen after warm weather. But in general, in Dallas-Fort Worth area where we are in Zone 8, pomegranates do fine outside. I've got one. It's kind of a little forest of pomegranates, small pomegranates that I put in a low pot that I have at the office on the front porch. And, I mean, it's left outside. So in the ground, that's a little risky. But in the ground, I think pomegranates, no problem. You don't need to cover with floating row cover or anything like that. They look pretty bad. They're totally bare in the winter, but they come back out and will be fine for you next year, next growing season. And somebody had another question. Well, Parodia. Where do you get Parodia or Persian ivy? I got mine accidentally. I got it from a local nursery that was selling it labeled as witch hazel. And I actually put it in my tree book, mislabeled. It looks very similar to witch hazel. It has a little larger leaves, and the leaves have more substance to them. And it's a better plant as far as just growing an ornamental plant, at least for us in this area. So where to get them, I can't really tell you specifically other than do a web search and buy one on the internet. They're out there because I've been to at least two botanical gardens where they had them in the botanical garden. So people around the country know about them. It's just not one like a red oak or a live oak or something like that. It's a little bit more unusual. It's called Persian ironwood or Parodia. Parodia is P-A-R-R-O-T-I-A, I believe. But you can go to our website and learn more about it. Beautiful, easy to grow tree, can grow in kind of sun or shade. Mine's in filter light under the big ginkgo and next to paper bark maple. And it's growing out and reaching for the sun. It's gotten to be about 20 something feet. Mine has spectacular yellow fall color. Some have red fall color. But the most interesting part of this plant, Parodia, is it's flowering. It has these little red bud-like things on it in the middle of the winter, and it's pretty cool. So give it a try. If you have to order it, mail order, it's no big deal. I've gotten some of the plants that I like the most that same way. Garlic Mike is next up in Dallas, listening on 660. Hey, Mike.
The answer has the answer, sir. I need some advice about using well water on my little garlic patch up in the Winsboro, Pittsburgh area.
Okay.
I've heard of a plant on your show a few weeks back called Shoreline Purslane, just a little ground cover, low-lying thing.
Okay.
Is that something, or am I thinking the right way? Is that something I could plant and help me deal with the salt and the water that we're going to be experiencing?
I haven't heard that specific thing about that plant. You're talking about the native purslane that has yellow flowers and real low growing. Is that the same? We're talking about the same thing.
I'm not real familiar with the whole the whole story about it. I heard it. I think it was on your show, but I just kind of run across this. It's a purse lane that grows on shorelines on you know, kind of like the inland sea oats. It's tolerant of the salt.
Well, it's a plant that I talk about, but I've never really talked about it from a salt standpoint. I've always talked about it from a standpoint of being an edible plant for the garden. A lot of people will kill it and not realizing that the whole plant is edible. Now, if it's absorbing heavy metals and things like that, helping clean up the soil, maybe it's not the best plant to be using. But salt is really a fairly easy thing to handle, Mike. The buffering that you get with the basic organic program that you're going to be using, of course, is very helpful to mitigate the salt imbalances. And what I recommend to people specifically is using either injection of the whole Garrett juice mixture or at least liquid humates, you know, into the irrigation, and it's pretty amazing what just doing that simple thing will do to a high sodium, I guess, is what salt you're talking about that's a problem? Or is it various salt?
I have not tested the water yet to find out exactly what we're going to be working with, but I know the well waters in that part of Texas are high in salt.
Okay. You may or may not have heard me talk about this, but in one of my previous careers, we were doing research on growing grass in water that had been killed by salt. Salt had killed it in oil fields out in Vernon, Texas, where it was.
And the oil field recovery work, yes.
Yeah, we had land that had been completely dead like the moon for 75 years. And the idea was to see if you could grow grass on there and for how much an acre would it cost to do that. And we found that the basic organic program, and specifically the mixtures that would have the things that are in the Garrett juice mixture, worked as well or better than anything we dealt with. And we literally grew grass on that land again. The problem was, it was looking back in those days at costing around $300, $350 an acre to do it, and people didn't consider the land to be worth that much money. So it can be done, but the cost effectiveness when it's that contaminated is still an issue. With your situation where it may be a little bit out of whack, the organic program, Garrett juice, liquid humates, you know, the molasses, the vinegar, all the things that are part of the Garrett juice mixture, it'll solve it for you. You won't have an issue at all.
Well, that's the way we're going to go for sure. The Garrett juice pro, we've already got our dry molasses and rock minerals already scattered, and We're ready to go with that. I've heard you talk about taking the dry molasses, and you can write your name in the sand in the desert, and it'll bloom.
Yeah, it'll pull moisture right out of the air. That's why molasses is such an important piece of the puzzle. But the whole formula of Garrett juice, you know, the liquid humate and or compost tea or combination of the two, and then the molasses, the seaweed, apple cider vinegar, that formula, we just haven't run into anything that works as well as it does. It's pretty remarkable.
And the Garrett Juice Pro is coming through just like you expected it to.
The beneficial microbes, Chris and Agatha have done a great job of continuing to experiment. They had a little problem with the humate they first used, and it causing a foaming and a kind of a sludge buildup and that sort of thing. They changed to another company, a higher quality humate, and it's just as perfect as it can be. But they continue, and we all do, continue to look at, you know, what can we do to make the formula even better than it has been. And we'll, you know, pass the information on to people that can make it themselves at home or buy the commercial products, either one.
Is this the BioSI product you've been advertising?
That they're using for the microbes? I think they are using their specific one. There are, obviously, you've heard me talk about a lot of different people that are in that business, but BioSI makes a whole line of products, and one of the products is a mycorrhizal fungus bacteria product, and I think that's the one going in the Maestro Grow Garrett Juice Pro.
That's the one we're going to be using.
Okay, all right, Howard, keep us posted. We'll have to check out this property sometime soon.
Oh, yes, indeed.
See you later. Got an interesting question from one of my consulting clients the other day about, well, it was more tree care and some of the conversions they were making of taking people from a chemical program over to an organic program, and they've had great success, but they had one project that had zoysia grass, and it was had a little bit of a downturn before it started greening up and getting great. And we talked about a solution to that, and I'll pass that on to you when we come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Order BioSI's lawn and garden products today by contacting BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com. That's BioSITechnology.com.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic aged garlic extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478 to Grand Prairie, Texas, and here's Harold. Hello, Harold.
Hey, Howard. With our current drought, so many of the lakes are 10, 12 feet, even more below normal. Besides bald cypress, pardon the Rhodesian Ridgeback in the background.
You just want to be part of the show.
Exactly. Yes, she does. She's a hound. She's a hog. What other trees would be appropriate to plant on these areas of the lake that are bare now that hopefully will fill up someday?
Well, as far as planting a tree in an area that's going to actually have water up on it, the bald cypress is really about the only option there. The Montezuma cypress can take a lot of water, too. The Dawn Redwood can take, you know, moist conditions and goes kind of that direction. But as far as actually growing in the water, planting the trees so that the water is going to come up on them, that's a bald cypress is what you're going to have to deal with. And there's a little bit of an issue there, too. The bald cypress is an interesting tree in so much that it can become fairly xeric. It can grow in a pretty dry land situation. And there's always kind of a little bit of a debate. I think it can be done, but it's a little tricky to plant it in water in the first place after it's been growing in a dry situation. It'd be kind of the same thing here. If you plant it in a bare bank and it's kind of in a dry situation, although there might be some pretty good moisture down below, when the water comes up on it, can it adjust to that when it's never had that experience yet? You see what I mean? And I'm not positive about that at all.
Well, this is an issue that I know with the Texas Water Development Board, that they're providing, what, $2 billion or $1 billion for water resource issues. And I was thinking that some of your advertisers, your supporters, this would be an opportunity. You know, in the 30s, we had the Civilian Conservation Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we need the Texas Conservation Corps, where we could plant these trees or other products that your supporters advise around the shorelines to preserve the erosion. So hopefully, you know, like Harold Taft said, we break a drought with a flood someday.
Yeah.
And it improves the fishing habitat. I mean, especially Lake Fork, Lake Tewakinee, your more rural reservoir, Cedar Creek, where they're so dependent upon fishing that this would greatly increase the fishing habitat. And I look at the Riverwalk in San Antonio. My gosh, how old are those bald cypress trees down there?
Yeah, and that's all been created down there. There was a little bit of naturalness to it in the beginning, but a lot of that has been created. It's a good question you've got. I tell you who, I'll look into this with my friend Bob Webster down in San Antonio. He's very involved in water issues, and he's even on a board down there talking about these things. And there's a lot of questions that you bring up. You know, some people would even argue that planting a whole bunch of trees on a shoreline where they haven't been before might create an artificial situation that wouldn't be the best thing to do. I would tend to disagree with that, I think. Other people would say it'd be better to plant low-growing things like inland sea oats and other things that would cover the eroded areas and help from an erosion standpoint, maybe even more so than a tree would. The problem with that I've personally experienced is that we had a landscape project, and it was in Arlington, actually, where the lake went way down during reconstruction of a wall, a retaining wall around it. And during that period of time when it was down, that exposed soil started growing all kinds of things. You know, there was grasses and weeds and various things grow. The decision was made, and I can't remember how it was made, to be honest with you, but it was, and I was glad because I learned something from it. When the construction was finished, they filled the lake back up over that green vegetation that had grown on that exposed bare part that used to be underwater. And we had the biggest mess of algae growing and discolored water and management of that lake from that point forward that I have ever seen in my life. So it's, you know, six and one and a half dozen another sometime about what would be the best way to go. Cutting down the erosion, but then maybe causing another problem on down the road that you didn't expect is a possibility.
Yeah, I just hate to see Lake Levan, Lake Ray Hubbard, just to see all that bare soil exposed right now, just thinking that, you know, what could be a solution to benefit us when we look 10, 20 years down the road from now during this devastating drought like the 50s and the 30s. Just, you know, how can we take advantage of the situation to turn a negative into a positive? And I appreciate your work.
Well Bob and them are probably looking into it more than I have. That's a good question to bring up, Harold. I'll try to talk to Bob about that next time I visit with him.
Hey, I appreciate it. And just I'll join up and keep me informed of anything I can do so we can get some of that Water Development Board money and use it for organic products up here in the Dallas area for water conservation. So the Dirt Doctor and water conservation go hand in hand. Thanks, Howard.
I think that's a great point. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate it. Let's see what Russell's up to in Lone Oak, listening on 660. Well, I'll tell you what, we're about to break here. Russell, can you hang with me for a little bit?
Sure.
We'll be back right after a little break here and then chat about Rosette, it looks like, and some other things. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. The website, dirtdoctor.com. The newsletter is free. You just fill out the little form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and you'll get it on a weekly basis. I'll be back.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today. Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure Black Cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, now let's talk to Russell in Lone Oak about his roses. Hey, Russell.
Yes, sir.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm pretty sure that you've got the rose roses.
Well, I can barely hear you, Russell.
Okay, let me.
There we go.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure that I've got Rose Rosette.
Okay.
On a Melinda's Dream, and I've mixed up the Garrett juice. I have the peroxide. How often should I spray the rose?
Well, the first thing to do, and this is a little bit different in that you're dealing with it after the plant has gone dormant to some degree, but the first step is to trim all of the deformed buds and flowers and growth off.
Right.
And you do it and clean the shears in between with the hydrogen peroxide. And if you mix the hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store, which is 3%, with a little water, so it's a little less than 3%, put it in a quart sprayer and just spritz those areas where you're making the cuts. Then the spraying of the whole Garrett juice mixture, theoretically, you could do it one time, and it would solve the problem. You're doing it now at a point when we're pretty much dormant, and there's not any growth going on. So I would spray now. And then I would just watch in the spring when it starts to grow again. And if you see any signs of it, spray again. On Belinda's Dream, as opposed to Knockout, the one treatment may take care of it, Russell, and you may not have to do it again. So the answer to your question is you spray again if you need to, and some people with knockout roses, you know, by the hundreds and hundreds, they're having the stuff recur kind of spotted here and there, and they're having to redo it in some areas. But and it's fine to retreat. It's no problem because the foliar spraying is good for the plant's growth and everything anyway.
Okay. Well, I have a friend who is a master gardener, and I'm going to prove to her that you can deal with this.
Well, especially with one of the old roses like Belinda's Dream, it'll be able to be fixed without any trouble. I tell you one thing we're seeing out there, Russell, on the roses, I'm seeing in some cases where people aren't even doing the full-fledged rose rosette program that we're talking about. The roses are kind of coming back on their own in some cases. This recommendation of tearing all the roses out and throwing them away and don't ever plant roses ever again is just really a silly thing.
Well, it's just terrible for, you know, these many beautiful, thriving rose plants. And so, well, it's one of them has one tip, and so let's rip everything out.
Yeah, there's just no solution. Just give up. I don't understand that thinking. I always say that there's got to be some way to do it, and if the first try doesn't work, you try something else.
Right. Well, let me ask you something else. I know what you've said about killing fire ants. Is there something I could do as a repellent before they ever – what it is, they've cost me right at $500 by getting into an electrical
issues. Yeah, there's a couple of things you can do. One is the dry molasses applied to the entire site is a wonderful repellent. It's amazing how well it works. We've had a very, very few number of people report that it didn't work totally for them, but we've had thousands of people say that it did. So why there's a difference on some properties in some cases, we haven't quite figured out. We do know that where it didn't completely get rid of fire ants, that the fire ants were under big slabs of driveways or some kind of a patio, a deck or something like that. And that's the only difference we've ever been able to come up with. The other repellents, and it actually kills is more than repelling, is beneficial nematodes. That also helps you with other pests. The herb cinnamon, which can be, you know, gotten in bulk, or you can get it as part of some other product like the Agri Lawn commercial product. But cinnamon repels ants very well. So does black pepper. So does red pepper. So there's several different techniques and products that you could use. But the first thing I would try, because it gives you other benefits as well, would be the dry molasses.
Well, since you recommend it, I happen to have a 50-pound bag.
There you go.
I'll go to it.
If they're active right now, go ahead and get to work. And I think by spring, you'll see that they won't even be on the property anymore at all. You won't even be able to find any.
Well, I'll put some out today, and we'll see how it works.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Russell. Here's Maggie in Fort Worth. Hey, Maggie, I haven't talked to you in a while. What's up?
Yeah, I figured this county ought to call in and be heard from, too.
I think so.
Okay, every now and then you get one of those little hairs you decide to act on. I picked up a couple of big Osage orange, you know, Bois d'Arc horse apples the other day. I used them as my part of my centerpiece. My guests noticed the irony. They knew what they were. Osage orange, which are lime green, and oranges all mixed together.
That's good. How did you do them? Did you put them out full, or did you slice them into the thin slices like some people do?
I just left them whole on a tray and arranged things looking interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
What I'm interested in, though, I have a kind of an understory setting at the back of my yard beyond the fence. And there's actually a site, hedgeapple.com, that's dedicated to these things.
Oh, well, I've never seen that. Hedgeapple.com, huh?
Yes, okay. That is talking about how to plant them. And they're talking about planting rows. I'm not interested in rows, but I'm just wondering, if I threw one out there in the understory, would it possibly start, or do I need to do a little more, or does it not want to be in the understory to begin with?
You know, that's a good question, because where horse apples are on the ground under existing trees, I don't see a lot of little seedlings coming up.
Right.
So it may be one of those things we talked about last week, you know, that some seed need to have a secondary ripening going on. In other words, the seed needs to go through the gut of an animal, or it needs to be in a warm, fermented kind of a situation for a while before it germinates.
This site talks about putting them in a bucket and letting them stay with a little bit of water and freeze and thaw and freeze and thaw until they're kind of pulpy.
Yeah, well, that would be what I'm talking about.
And then planting them, yeah.
That would give that secondary ripening, so to speak, or fermentation, you know.
Right.
Some people do that kind of a thing with tomatoes, even though you can get them to germinate without it. But some of the people that grow tomatoes really well really recommend that fermenting of the seed before you plant. That's an interesting question, but I bet you that's what you have to have, because we just don't see very many seedlings of Bodark coming up under the trees. It may be a little bit like mesquite. Also, mesquite trees, you don't see little seedlings coming up around them because they have an allelopathy or a toxicity to
right.
their own young plants trying to come up, and young plants cannot start in the root system of a mesquite. And that's why it's such a bad idea to try to cut down the big mesquites to control them, because when you do that, all the latent buds around the trunk of the tree come up, and you have bushes then of mesquite. Maybe the same thing with Bodark. Bodark may be protecting itself the same way.
The aspect of starting them in a shady area, they would eventually end up in the overstory. But I have an area that has, I would like to have it more stable, and I have never seen, I've seen these along fence lines a lot, but I don't know if it would grow it on a bluff above the creek. I'm thinking that would be a place to put it, because then the horse apples would wash away every so often.
Well, you know, when you see the horse apples, the Bodarks coming up on a fence line, the seed may have gone through the gut of a bird or some other animal or something like that. The other thing that you probably already know, but it's the easiest tree in the world to do a stem cutting. Now, you can cut a branch off of Bodark and stick it in the ground, and it'll root.
Well, there's a tree that I keep an eye on. That's where I pick these up. That's a mile or so from the house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the people. I just pick these up on the right of way.
Well,
but I'd probably have to go into their yard to do a cutting.
Well, they probably let you have one, because you just need to cut one little piece of a limb off. That's the way they used to build Bodark fences. They would get a Bodark growing, and then they wouldn't even disconnect it from the plant. They just bend it over and pin it into the ground, and it would
along a piece.
Yeah, and it would root. It's still connected to the mother plant, and then they would do it again and again, and it would form a whole row of Bodarks that were propagated from just bending limbs down and pinning them into the soil.
If I cut a piece, how big?
I don't think it matters. I think you can cut anything from a little twig that's smaller than your little finger to a 2 or 3 inch caliper limb and stick it in the ground, and it'll root.
Okay.
All it needs is to stay moist. And if you go that route, you could find a plant that you really has the character that you want. Most people trying to grow Bodark, like you're talking about, would want to grow the male so they didn't have the fruit. Sounds like you maybe would like to have the fruit. I don't know. But if you don't want the fruit, find a male plant and take that stem cutting from it, and you'll know it's a male plant if it just never has the apples. And that propagation of that stem will create another male. It never will crawl, you know, change over and have a fruit.
I'd have to get out there and recognize the male, wouldn't I?
They actually are pretty easy to recognize. There's not that many of them. They are prettier trees, generally. They have a little bit smaller leaf, generally. And at this time of the year, you're not going to see any fruit under the tree. Most, you probably just haven't been looking. If you start looking for it, I bet you'll find it pretty easy.
Yeah. That's what I'll have to do. But I could also just get a few started. How long do you think it's before I would start seeing flowers?
Just on a new little plant? I don't know how long it takes before you actually start seeing fruit. I've had some small bodarks grow at our office and get up to be 3 or 4 years old before we cut them down, and they hadn't started to make any fruit at all. It may be kind of like pecan. It needs 6 or 7, 8 years before it starts producing fruit.
Okay, well, I hear the birds. I think it's probably time to let someone else in. But
okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you
soon.
Thank
you for your help with it.
Thanks. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Did you know that 2 of the top 5 most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, is Howard's newest book. Howard explains in detail how to establish and maintain lawns, covering, planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. This book explains an easier, less expensive, and less water-intensive program than using conventional lawn care. Have the best-looking lawn in your neighborhood. Get more information or order this great book today by going to Howard Garrett Books on DirtDoctor.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth:
Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Let's go to Fort Worth once again and talk to Brian, see what's up over there. Brian, what's up?
I have about 1,200 feet of barbed wire fence between me and my neighbor, and they like to use 2,4-D on that fence line. Is there anything I can do to neutralize that, or am I just...
Oh, boy. Yes, but the best thing would be, obviously, to get them to stop doing it. Is there any possibility of that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, if they keep doing it, you're kind of chasing your tail a little bit. The detox program that we work, Brian, will neutralize anything even as toxic as 2,4-D, but if they continue to spray it, you kind of continue to do the stuff. It gets expensive, and you never get it completely cleaned up. But the detox program is to put out – basically, the amendments that were used for bed preparation as an ideal kind of thing, but at least to spray the Garrett juice with 2 ounces of orange oil added to it and some hydrogen peroxide added to it. And the hydrogen peroxide can go in it similar to what we would do if we're mixing it to spray rose rosette. We'd want at least 8 ounces and better about 16 ounces of the water in a gallon of spray to be replaced with hydrogen peroxide. And that starts all kinds of good things going in the beginning. You don't want to do the hydrogen peroxide but one time, and then from that point forward, you just do the Garrett juice, the orange oil at a diluted rate, 1 ounce per gallon on the second sprays, and the things that would stimulate biological activity. The hydrogen peroxide's in the mix in the first place just to help liquid aerate the soil and helps to start the process moving in the right direction. Using it continually will actually harm the microbes. But again, this is a chase your tail deal unless you can get them to stop spraying.
Yes, it looks like to me that some of it is and the breeze coming across and doing a lot of damage.
Yeah, that's a possibility. We have a lot of wind here, and you're not supposed to spray when it's windy, and that stuff does move around in the air, and it doesn't take a whole lot of it to foul up your good plants. Do you have food crops in this area?
I'd like to, but so far my efforts have been futile because of the effects of it.
Are you sure it's 2,4-D and not Roundup?
It could be. I spoke with the owner of the property, and they did say they preferred 2,4-D, but they could be using both.
Well, the 2,4-D, you know, is supposedly a broadleaf weed killer and shouldn't supposedly, you know, quote unquote, not affect the grasses. So if it's killing everything there, it's probably more of a Roundup. Or there are some products out there now that are Roundup, and they've had other chemicals added to the mix. And that's a possibility, too. It doesn't matter as far as what the detox program is. It's on our website and in the library under detox, the explanation, but it's basically what I told you. That will start the process of breaking down. Well, if you put out a dry humate, a very, very fine-textured dry humate or activated charcoal in a dry form mixed with water and sprayed on, that will instantly tie up the toxins. The Garrett juice, orange oil, and all the rest of the detox program will actually disassemble those big molecules of the toxic product and, you know, break them down into, you know, non-toxic kinds of things, carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, all the, you know, things that aren't a problem anymore.
Would a product like that, you mentioned the carbon, would that be on your product side?
Well, the activated carbon product is hard to find. It's you'll find it explained in the library and what the name of it is and all that. Finding it is tough because the company that makes it is an industrial company, and they don't want to deal with retail sales and retail people. So generally the best thing that you can find, the only thing you can find, is humate that's in as fine a texture as possible. Any fine textured carbon material will work.
So that would go through a sprayer?
Yeah, you mix it with water and you spray it out liquid, because if it's fine enough texture to work really well, it's tough to put it out dry. It all blows away. So you mix it with water, spray it out, and then you go to the second step of spraying the Garrett juice mixture with the orange oil added, and one time add the hydrogen peroxide to the mix.
If I do, if I am successful in cleaning this up and the growth continues, I would assume he's going to spray more. So I don't know, it may be chasing my tail, as you say.
Yeah, that's the problem, because every time he sprays, you'll have some residual power of the carbon and the microbes that you've put down. But every time they come in and do it again, they're going to disturb some of that and put more contamination down. So you've got to spray again every time after they've sprayed. I would have a chat with them about possibly calling in, you know, somebody from the state or the county or something to say you're doing damage to my property. I'm going to take you to court and see if that won't get their attention to maybe stop doing it.
I thought about that. The property's for sale. Maybe I can get somebody to buy it.
There you go. Help out to get it stopped. That's going to be the way to take care of it. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. And those of you holding, hang on. I'll help you before I leave today. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, enjoyed being with you very much. Enjoy the rest of this Thanksgiving weekend. And we'll see you next week. Until that time, enjoy your gardens. And don't forget to feed the birds.